called Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 221. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Delaney Gianna. Welcome, Delaney.
Thank you very much, Don.
Delaney, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Absolutely.
All right. We want to hear the whole story. Delaney Gianna is a young entrepreneur residing in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico. She comes from a long history of chefs, cooks, and restaurateurs. For the last 4 years, she has dedicated her energy to creating Eco Con Amor, a catering and private chef service that provides beautiful food and quality personalized service. She offers services in San Miguel de Allende and Sayulita, Mexico. Eco Con Amor translates to Made with Love. She takes tremendous pride in her work. Every day begins with passion, gratitude, and love. Delaney, that's a summary of your career to date. Tell us what you're up to now that has you engaged.
Well, Don, I'm going into my fourth year in business. I run a company in San Miguel de Allende, and I also outsource to Sayulita. We do personal events and personalized dinners and catering and things along those lines. I also do some wedding planning and booking for larger parties. And I give cooking classes in a school for deaf children.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's really amazing and rewarding. So I've been picking up sign language and things along those lines. And things have been growing pretty consistently about tenfold each year, which is amazing.
Yes.
And for the last few years, this has been what's paid my bills and what's sustained me. And everything comes from Echo Con Amor. So it's been quite a journey.
Yes, it sounds like a very exciting journey and a very successful journey. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
As you know, everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points, passages some call them, and at these times we're faced with obstacles and opportunities and choices that determine the next handful of years of our lives. So take us back in your story, as far back as you'd like to go, to some of the more memorable turning points that have made you who you are today.
Well, I come from a restaurant family. My earliest memories were in the kitchen. My grandmother has worked in restaurants and in catering, as well as personal chef services and things along those lines since before I was born. My father was a chef and my mother was a server. That's actually how they met, was in a little restaurant in California.
Yeah.
The boss told them that they weren't allowed to date. And that, of course, is a wonderful way to throw gasoline on any passion. So they got married, and through the course of my life, my mother worked in restaurants a lot, and so I was very familiar with that kind of environment. My other grandmother on my father's side really stressed to us manners and being able to eat someday in the president's house and things along those lines. So service was something that came pretty naturally to me. I'm also from an Italian family, and food is the central basis of our gatherings. It's the central basis of how we relate to each other in a lot of ways, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that has always been part of my life, and the kitchen was a place I always felt very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I have grown up between the United States and Mexico. I moved to Mexico the first time when I was 14, and I went to a public school outside of Tijuana in Baja California. And at that point, I had a job during the day working in a health clinic, and that's when I really began cooking. In my teenage years, I really dedicated myself to learning how to cook well, because I felt, I don't know, that it would be a positive asset in my life, which it certainly turned out to be.
When you say well, do you mean cook with health in mind as well as with precision and the ingredients? What do you mean exactly?
Well, I think all of it. I mean, really more than anything, I think that there's a tremendous skill that goes into taking a stack of raw ingredients and making it into something pleasurable and presentable and delicious and ideally nourishing to every level of your being. I think that food in our culture right now is something that gets put on the back burner, along with like sleep and drinking water and going outside. Like these things that are really basic to maintaining our fundamental levels of health and well-being.
I could not agree with you more. Sleep, drinking water, and going outside. It sounds so utterly obvious and brain dead simple, but it's really not done that much anymore.
Well, those are the first things that people cut when they get busy with their jobs. And it just seems so silly to me, because if you do just those things, your quality of life increases tremendously. I believe personally, as a chef and as a cook, and it's a philosophy that I really live and work with, that community's quality of life is directly tied to their quality of food. It is really, really a challenge to have a happy life if you don't eat well. And you know, this was something that I was aware of from an early age and something that I really dedicated myself to, because even if I didn't have money, I at least could be eating well.
Yes.
And if you do that, then everything else just sort of falls into place, I think. So,
yes, precisely. So what happened next in your career after the when you were 14 years old and working in the health clinic? What was the next step?
Well, we moved from there to Portland, Oregon, and from 2007, I finished high school, and I began living between Sayulita and Portland, Oregon, and I would spend a few months of the year in each place, and then in the end of 2010, I moved to Mexico full-time, and I've been here now for a little bit over 5 years. This is my sixth year. So I was working in another health clinic there. It was definitely more focused on how to get the most nutrients packed into a dish as possible to really nourish the people who were coming down, or people who were really looking to get more in touch with themselves and to live a healthier life. So I practiced a lot. I also studied things like Gerson therapy and juicing, vegetarian and vegan diets, and using the wonderful fresh ingredients that are available on the coast in Mexico, fresh seafood, fish, and produce. They grow pineapples in that region, and coconuts grow in that region. So there's a lot of really wonderful ingredients to work with.
Is the seafood in Mexico protected from so many of the pollutants that have poisoned other parts of the world?
I certainly hope so.
Right.
And I think that really anything that pulled out of the ocean is a better quality than trying to find it inland or finding things frozen.
Right.
I'm not sure what the environmental effects of human activity has been on the planet and on our food supply completely, but I do my best to use the highest quality ingredients possible when I can.
Yes, yes. Okay, go ahead.
About 4 years ago, I helped to open a little restaurant in Sayulita. It was a hole in the wall, pretty literally a hole in a wall. It was attached to a larger restaurant that had previously been using that space to store garbage.
Oh.
And I had a partner at the time, and we were going into the low season. That area of Mexico especially is very affected by tourism and by the season. So we were heading into low season. We had pretty much no money to invest in the project, and somehow managed to get it open and get it started. And he was a chef as well. And we both had this huge passion for cooking that we wanted to share with the world. The first party that we did, as far as a private dinner goes, was for a group of interior designers from Chicago. And we did it up on this incredible rooftop in Sayulita with a view of the ocean. I think it was 10 people, and we did 8 courses. Oh. And I remember finishing that dinner and being like, wow, this exists. I could be a professional dinner maker. And I felt like that was something that really suited me and something that I could develop and do really well.
My word. The orchestration of 8 courses in a private dinner sounds rather daunting.
Yeah, well, that's been kind of a theme through this whole process, is if I had had any idea what I was getting myself into, I probably would have been much more hesitant about starting it.
Yes.
But I didn't have any idea. Like I said, I didn't know that personal chef was a job until I did my first job as a personal chef.
Mm.
So it was sort of like these things started coming into my awareness, and it was like, wow, this is a really cool thing, and this is something I could be really good at. So through the course of that year, we ran the restaurant and did breakfast and lunch during the day. And in the evenings, we did private dinners. So I got some good practice. I trained a chef. And then at the end of the year, I broke off this partnership. We had some fundamental differences, I think, about how we believed a business should be run, and I wanted to do it my own way. And I moved at that point to San Miguel. I took a couple months off, and then when I got to about $80 to my name, like almost out of money, I decided that I was going to be a personal chef here, and that, like I said, that career had really suited me. I had been working for a year, practicing and developing and kind of figuring out the tricks of the trade and stuff. I didn't know anybody in San Miguel. I didn't know if this would even work in San Miguel, but I was just determined that this was the thing that I was going to do. And that's what I did. So within the day of putting my intentions of I'm going to be a personal chef in San Miguel de Allende to when I had my first clients was 6 days. And pretty literally since then, I've lived off of this. Sometimes it's been pretty hand to mouth, but for the first year, especially that I was here, but it worked. I haven't had to have a day job.
That's pretty amazing. You got down to $80.
Yeah.
You're in this new town and you said, okay, I've got to do something here. Just go get a day job. And you just reached out and got some clients.
Yeah, it was pretty serendipitous how it happened. I had been staying in an apartment above this lady. And because my funds were so low, she told me she had an extra bedroom and I could stay with her. She posted something on an email list where a lot of expats in town here communicate. And somebody saw it and they were in need of that kind of service of healthy, personalized food. It was a client who was recovering from a heart attack. And the word just kind of spread.
Yes.
It's pretty miraculous to me still, Dawn. Like when I look back on it, wow, that happened. I did that.
You surely did.
And the saving grace of it was I knew that I could always go out and get a job in town if I needed to and be working by the next day because I've got years of experience in restaurants and service and I'm bilingual. So there's a huge demand of that in a town with a lot of expats in central Mexico. So it was always sort of a cushion, but I had this idea in my head that I would rather have a really skinny wallet and whatever money's in it come from the project that I've started on myself than be making a lot of money supporting somebody else's dream. Like yes. I was really determined that I wanted to make this work.
Bravo to you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
No, it's just huge. I'm a lifelong entrepreneur too. That's wonderful. I'm so excited for you. So you know the statistics that are out there in the world. Most people are not in what I call their sweet spot. They're not doing creating healthy, personalized food on their own timetable for clients and or whatever their area of expertise is, they're not fully utilizing their talents and abilities to do what they love. What do you think that's about? Here you are doing it and you've overcome obstacles to say the least, but what's your observation about that?
I think that a lot of it is that you have to be okay with people thinking you're a little nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, conventionally speaking, if when I did tell people I'm moving to Mexico and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be a personal chef, they're like, okay, crazy person, like, go ahead.
Yes.
You have to be outlandish enough to really believe that another world is possible. I think you also have to get out of the cycle of accepting when people disrespect you as it's like a necessary part of your life in order to sustain your well-being. I think you have to really be a dreamer and you have to use your imagination and you have to take a path that's probably not paved and find your own way. And I think that you have to have a tremendous amount of courage and conviction and really know and trust yourself in order to make that happen. There's not, that I found at least in my opinion, a manual of how to do these things. You have to be able to differentiate an idea that comes out of your head from an inspired thought that comes from the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get one of those, you have to have the intuition to know how to follow it and to respond to the signals and the opportunities that it will present. But that means that you have to go outside of your comfort zone. It means that you have to make a lot of space in your life for this thing to materialize. It means that you have to demand that people treat you in a different way and begin living in a different way yourself in order to cultivate this thing and help it to grow.
Wow, that could not be a more eloquent summary of the whole process, in my opinion. When you say put up with a certain amount of disrespect, what do you mean?
I think that people get used to talking about these stories of how miserable they are with their job and how much of a jerk their boss is and how they don't have enough time for anything. And I think that people connect to each other on that level. It's like they speak woundology to each other. And
did you say woundology?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. That's interesting.
It's a term by a spiritual teacher named Carolyn Mace, who I've studied a lot as well. I've read a lot of her books. Woundology basically is this language that we speak that helps to socially manipulate a conversation by talking about these like sensitive places in ourselves, and that being the level that you connect with people with. So it's like if you meet somebody initially and you're trying to have a connection, you could say something like, oh man, my job really sucks. And they would say, man, I don't like my job either. And then you can have a conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to change your life and start living from a place of talents and love and passion, it means that you can't tell those stories anymore, mm-hmm. which means that you have to relate to people on a different level or in a different way. I think everybody wants to do that. And I think that sometimes when people see that you are doing that, there's a degree of envy that goes into it. There's a degree of like, well, maybe you think you're better than me. Like there's a lot of different interactions that go into it. But I think that it's hard for people to be happy for people who are happy. Mm-hmm. And it means that you have to separate yourself from the people who don't support your growth and happiness. And that sometimes means changing your social structure. It means changing the role in your family. It means not being willing to sacrifice your basic well-being in order to make a living. And admittedly, like, I'm 26 years old. I don't have kids. So the consequences of me taking the actions that I've made, I'm the only one that really has to absorb the ill effects of it. Like, if I end up without money, then I'm the one who goes hungry and nobody else is. So right. I had some freedom based on that. But yes. I know that a lot of other people, there's a lot of fear that goes into it. There's a lot of, like, what happens if it doesn't work?
Right.
And that prevents them from trying, which is unfortunate because everybody can do something.
Forgive me for interrupting, but you said something wonderful a minute ago. You said a lot of things that have been really on target. When you said an idea from your head, but from the heavens, Einstein said he never had one of his discoveries. He was a pretty intelligent guy, right?
Yeah.
And he said he never had one of his discoveries based on logical thinking.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
And that's what would happen to me in the few short years that I did have day jobs, like when I was in high school, honestly, I felt like I was selling my soul for minimum wage, and I really wasn't willing to live that way.
Right.
But in order to do what I'm doing, it meant that I had to develop another part of myself, which was, without sounding too new agey, a spiritual side, a side that is connected to this whole bigger picture, and a side that's capable of receiving the messages from the universe or from God or from the heavens or from whatever terminology you want to put on it.
Right.
Your intuition needs to be strong in order to pick up on the signals from the universe. You have to trust yourself a lot. The creation of Etre Con Amour has taken me places that I couldn't have imagined existed in the outer world as well as within myself. You have to be willing to know yourself really, really well and to trust in your capabilities of manifesting and responding to the demands that life will present on you as well as what your business will present.
Exactly. So what have been the most palpable benefits to you blazing your own trail, trusting your instincts, having the courage to step out and do something different?
Well, I mean, just on the lifestyle is really, really suits me. I'm turning out to be a pretty good boss, but I was really not a very good employee, to be honest, when I was working for other people, because I like to do what I feel like doing. And a lot of times that's sleeping in and having time to drink my tea in the morning and not rush out the door and things like that. Like, that's just on a day-to-day basis. I don't set appointments generally before 11 o'clock because I don't like to get up that early. So It's been nice to have the freedom of being able to go with my body cycles and things like that. And then it's also opened up the world to me. My parents are divorced. I was raised primarily by my mom when I was younger. I was born right after she turned 21 and she raised us as a waitress. I have a younger brother as well. So we never went hungry, but we didn't really have means for things like traveling or stuff like that. So, but I really wanted to see the world. I'm very passionate about that as well. And what this job has allowed me to do is to travel extensively. I make money on each job rather than by each hour. Mm-hmm. So it gives me 3-4 days a week free to go and explore the world and to be able to pay my rent and handle my living expenses and have money left over to see incredible places, which in turn inspires this incredible awe in me that makes me want to work harder and keep doing that too. So
yes,
that I
yes.
can go further and do more.
So how would you boil down just in a minute, what would you say to listeners who are out there, whether they're 18 or 80, whether they're starting out leaving school or getting ready to go to college or technical school or get into the work world, what would you say just a few principles to guide them to be able to craft a life on their own terms, just briefly?
Develop your talents. Absolutely. Develop your talents. Learn anything that somebody is willing to teach you, even if it's something that's not related to your field of expertise, especially if it's something that's not related to your field of expertise. Because some of the greatest skills that have become an asset to me were things that I never thought that I would need to use. Turn your TV off, turn off your phone, go outside, read a book, engage with the world, find something that inspires you enough to want to change your life. Really, at the end of the day, all that we're left with is the story of the experiences that were lived. And I, for one, didn't want to have to tell a story about spending 20 years sitting behind a desk. I wanted to tell stories about climbing Machu Picchu in time to see the sunrise over the Andes and getting caught in rainstorms in Cuba and climbing to the tops of volcanoes here in Mexico and chasing rainbows on Sunday afternoons. I mean, really, really beautiful things that have enriched my life tremendously.
Yes, well said. You mentioned Carolyn Mace with Woundology. What other books of hers you like? Are there just books that you would recommend to readers, to listeners?
As far as a business book goes, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was one that really put a lot of things in perspective. Although admittedly, Dawn, I haven't studied business. There have been books that have changed me on a fundamental level as a person.
I'm even more interested in that than the business side. So what other books?
Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace was a really good one because it illustrates a lot of what it means to have self-respect and to have integrity. And I think that those are absolutely fundamental for having a successful business and having a successful life. I also, just if somebody's interested in cooking, all the books by Michael Pollan are incredible, particularly The Omnivore's Dilemma. I really enjoyed. There's another one that's called In Defense of Food that I read when I was maybe 19, and it changed the way that I ate. It changed the way I shopped. It changed the way that I saw food. And I just read another one called Cooked, which is basically a history of transformation of human evolution through the art of cooking. And it goes through the invention of cooking from putting an animal on an open fire all the way up through cooking in pots, baking, and the art of fermenting food, which is cooking without heat.
Right.
That was an incredibly inspiring one for me because it made me realize, wow, this task that people see as being so kind of menial, we've really outsourced a lot of our cooking, is absolutely one of the most fundamental things for human development.
Yes.
They say that philosophy, culture, language all started around a cook fire because originally we were hunter-gatherers. Each person was responsible for their own food. And cooking brought everybody together and everybody had to play a role. It was a cooperative effort. And then there had to be things that were talked about,
precisely. So what do you see going forward in your life in the next handful of years? What's your personal vision going forward?
I would like to be pretty financially set up by the time I'm 30. I mean, to the point where my businesses are kind of running themselves, where I can find people to do the job that I'm doing now and be able to take off to various parts of the world and live for 3 to 6 months at a time is sort of in my personal goal. I would like to spend time in Italy. I'd like to spend time in Thailand. I'd like to spend time in South America and Eastern Asia and Australia and really wherever the world opens up for me. Luckily, cooking is a pretty universally needed skill. I mean, wherever you go, people have to eat, and
wherever
they're eating, they'd like to eat well. So that works out. I would like to build a community and ensure that that community lives well also.
Good.
I would like for all of my employees to be able to come onto your program and say about how much they love their job and love working with me.
All right. All right. Speaking of that, what are you proudest of?
What am I proudest of? I'm really proud of the morals that I conduct my business with because it's a small operation, but I pay really generously. Certainly, I pay living wages. The decisions that I make for my business are not motivated solely for my personal best interest, but the best interest of the whole, because I do realize that my team is really what makes this thing work. And I appreciate them tremendously. I say please and thank you a lot. And I pay really well. And people enjoy working with me and they feel passionate about what we're doing, which the more people who love what you do, the more that it will expand, because love is a naturally expansive energy.
Exactly. Well, what a great pleasure being with you today. We appreciate you sharing the highlights of your fascinating life journey. And I know that listeners around the world have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do people get in touch with you if you'd like them to get in touch with you?
I have a website through the Sayulita Life page, which is sayulitalife.com, and then /echo, which is H-E-C-H-O hyphen con, C-O-N hyphen Amor, A-M-O-R. They can contact me through that, or my direct email is echoconamorservices@gmail.com.
Good. Perfect. Listeners know you can go to Discover Your Talent podcast to the podcast section and put in Delaney Gianna's name and find a summary of this fine interview along with the links to the website and her email address. I want to thank listeners across the world for joining us today. If you go to our website, you've heard me say for a number of months now that we have an ebook, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. Delaney has outlined many of those strategies today from her own direct life experience. We've had great success to this ebook. It's all free, and it might be a Kickstarter that would help you in your career just as just useful information. Good reading. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like our content, we would love for you to be a part of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.